present I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Jack D.
Hello, and welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue. You join us today on a visit to Nottingham. The city quite rightly hailed as the capital of the Midlands after Birmingham failed a mandatory drugs test. But you can't visit Nottingham without mentioning the outlaw Robin Hood and his merry men, the most controversial of whom was Little John, who would infuriate the residents of Sherwood Forest with his regular column in Ye Olde Daily Mail. Nottingham's Goose Fair is one of the UK's largest and oldest fairs. It dates back to the 13th century when thousands of geese would be brought to Nottingham from Lincolnshire, Cambridgeshire and Norfolk to have a go on the waltzers. In 1794, the Great Cheese Riot broke out at Nottingham's Goose Fair after prosperous local merchants inflated the price of cheese until it was unaffordable to ordinary people. The city hasn't seen a similar level of anger at the vastly inflated price of food since last week. A century later, another prosperous Nottingham merchant, Frederick Garton, invented HP sauce, so named as it was the only way locals could afford to buy it. Nottingham's most famous football club is, of course, recently promoted Nottingham Forest. The move to the top tier of football is of incalculable worth to the city, and the team have promised fans that they'll perform to the very best of their ability during their 10 months in the Premiership. In the late 18th century, Nottingham was a centre of activity for the Luddites, who were complaining about the inferior quality of a machine-produced cloth known as shoddy, made from recycled woolen rags. Examples of shoddy cloth can still be found today in Nottingham's Heritage Museum, or failing that, any branch of Primark. Talking of shoddy material, let's meet the teams. On my left, please welcome Fred McCauley and Vicky Pepperdine. And on my right, John Culshaw and Milton Jones. And taking her place at the desk next to me to enjoy an evening of scoring, please welcome the ever delightful Samantha. Well, we begin with a round that's all about shopping. Manufacturers will try anything to give their product an edge over the competition, and a popular means of achieving this is getting a celebrity to lend their name to it. But roping in a famous name is no guarantee of success. For every George Foreman grill, there's a Noel Gallagher eyebrow trimmer, a Greg Wallace shampoo and conditioner, or a Prince Andrew whitewash. Well, the round's called Extra Word Ruined Products, and in it, teams, I'd like you to provide examples of popular product names ruined by the simple addition of an extra word. Fred, you can start.
From Scotland, iron deficiency brew.
Vicky.
Fentiman's hand shandy.
John.
Swarovski crystal meth.
Milton.
Kia Starmer Aura.
Camel toe cigarettes.
Claire's murder accessories.
Sillet gangbang.
Chris de Burger Buns.
Pineapple cock rings.
Sheikh Mohammed bin Salman of Saudi Arabia and VAC.
Well, the next round is a musical one called One Song to the Tune of Another. For anyone unclear precisely how this works, it may help to look at a song, as you might a classic episode of Midsummer Murders. The tune or detective is played by John Nettles. However, the murder victims or lyrics are played by a different actor in every episode. In one episode, it might be the wonderful Nigel Havers. In another, perhaps the national treasure, Joanna Lumley. Although, on second thoughts, who in their right mind would even contemplate murdering the old Joanna? the piano, Colin Sell. Well, incidentally, Colin's been telling us of some exciting career news. In view of his excellent work with the Four Tops, Colin says next week the boss is letting him dry clean the trousers. Well, we'll start with you, Milton Jones. I'd like you to sing the words of Another Brick in the Wall by Pink Floyd to the tune of Simon and Garfunkel's The Sound of Silence.
We don't need no education. We don't need no thought control. No dark sarcasm in the classroom. Teacher, leave them kids alone. Hey, teacher, leave them kids alone. All in all, it's just another brick in the wall. All in all, you're just another brick in the wall. We don't need no education. We don't need no thought control. No dark sarcasm in the classroom. Teachers, leave them kids alone. Hey, teacher, leave them kids alone.
It's wonderful to have Milton with us tonight on one of his rare visits to Earth. You now, Vicky Pepperdine, I'd like you to sing the words of Single Ladies by Beyoncé to the tune of the Dam Busters March.
Thank you, Vicky, and all of you in the audience who are banging your hands against the fire exit in time like that.
Fred McCauley, your turn now. I'd like you to sing the words of Hit Me With Your Rhythm Stick to the tune of the Star Spangled Banner.
In the deserts of Sudan and the gardens of Japan, from Milan to Yucatan, every woman, every man, hit me with your rhythm stick. Hit me, j'adore. Ich liebe dich. Hit me. Hit me with your rhythm stick. Hit me slowly, hit me quick. Hit me in the wilds of Borneo and the vineyards of Bordeaux, Eskimo, Arapaho, move their body to and fro. Hit me with stay.
And finally, John Culshaw, I'd like you to sing the words of the theme from Only Fools and Horses to the tune of Nessun Dorma from Puccini's opera Turandot.
Stick a pony in my pocket. I'll fetch the suitcase from the van, 'cause if you want the best dance, but you don't ask questions, then brother, I'm your man. No income tax, no VAT, no money back, no guarantee, 'cause when it all comes from is a mystery. It's like the changing of the seasons and the tides of the sea. But here's the one that's driving me berserk. Why do only fools and horses work?
No one likes a smart ass, John. Well, this next round is all about words. Despite the English language containing over 170,000 words, there are still some foreign words with no English equivalent. For example, in German, there's the word Backpfeifengeschicht, which literally means a face badly in need of a fist. And of course, in English. Of course, in English, we have no single word equivalent, so have to settle for Michael Gove. Now, in this game, each team takes it in turn to exchange a series of random words. The job of the opposing team is to challenge if they detect a connection between any of them. Okay, I'd like you to start exchanging completely unconnected words, John and Milton, and Fred and Vicky, your job is to try to spot a connection. If I uphold the challenge, I'll ask you to take over and so on. So off you go, please, John and Milton.
Formica.
Porcupine.
Marzipan.
Story.
Equator.
Pig.
Fred, you came in with equator pig, is it?
Yep. Edinburgh Zoo's got them. Very rare. Very rare.
Is that because people see it and they say, that's equator pig?
Very good. Very good.
All right. Now, fair enough. You've proved a connection there. So it's over to you, Fred and Vicky.
Estuary.
Teflon.
Throat.
Wicket.
Reverse.
Crazy.
Plum.
Surely that was a band once played by John Peel. This is Crazy Plum.
I can believe that, the way you sold it to me.
That's
yes,
correct.
Yes, absolutely. Over to you, John and Milton.
Jennifer.
Obstinate.
Toe.
Tapir.
Ointment.
Fred, you came in there with a... What was it, Fred? Was it
tapir ointment?
Tapir ointment. Yep. Yeah.
You can actually get it at Edinburgh Zoo. Yeah.
Very good spot. Yeah. Over to you, Vicky and Fred.
Okay. Let's go. Tomato. Thank you.
Milton.
Something to do with Edinburgh Zoo.
Probably true. I think. Well done there. Let's just say that. Thank you very much, all of you. Okay, the next round is all about the wonder of the human body. Gymnast Zach Kakulas holds the Guinness World Record for the Iron Cross, one of the most difficult moves on the hanging rings, which involves keeping the body completely rigid with the arms at 90 degrees, something he managed to do for an incredible 39.23 seconds. Kakulas put his success down to three things: training, mental toughness, and forgetting to take the coat hanger out of his jacket. So in this round, the teams will assume the role of doctors and patients suffering from an imaginary medical condition. And you can be our first patients, Fred and Vicky. The identity of your mystery medical condition is now being displayed to our theatre audience via the laser display screen. And for listeners at home, here's the mystery voice.
Fred and Vicky think they're tennis balls. Fred and Vicky think they're tennis balls.
So it's time for your appointment, Fred and Vicky, and you must outline your symptoms to John and Milton, and they'll be awarded points based on how accurately they're able to diagnose your condition. So off you go, please.
I'm feeling pretty low. I've kind of lost my bounce. Nothing gives me pleasure anymore. I'm not going to the club this year.
No, I mean, I don't blame you. The service is terrible. Yeah, I mean, I must admit, I'm feeling a bit sort of fuzzy.
How's your love life?
Oh, I mean, please don't talk to me about love. I mean, love means nothing to me.
But you used to be game.
How about you? I mean, I heard you were set for a match.
Oh, I was, and then I fell foul of Annette. Couldn't get over it. Oh, I had some wonderful years with Chrissy.
Well, you spent half the time stuffed up her drawers. I hit the bottle. Endless doubles.
Me too. I ended up on grass. Completely out of my head.
This is something to do with rugby, isn't it?
Yes, well, clearly they must think that they're tennis balls.
Yes, of course. Yeah. That's right. So, okay, your turn to be patients, John and Milton. You've just been summoned into the surgery of doctors Fred and Vicky. The identity of your mystery medical condition will now be displayed to the audience via the laser display board. While here again is the mystery voice for listeners at home.
John and Milton think they're English beaches. John and Milton think they're English beaches.
So, John and Milton, you can outline your symptoms. Fred and Vicky, you can guess what they think they are.
What seems to be the problem?
I'm a bit flat, really.
My problem is wind. And we've got another problem. Our peer group. We're all suffering because we can't control our systems.
What, like stones getting stuck?
Oh, no, worse than that.
I was going to say, if it's stones, the problem could be shingles.
No, we all know there's nothing worse than a sudden release that's out of our control, and everyone's pretty browned off about it.
And now I've got a problem with my winkle.
You sure?
Sure, I'm sure.
Mind you, I've got crabs.
Congratulations! Long may they continue!
Well, thank you very much.
What do you think, Vicky?
I was thinking something like a sewage pipe leading out to the sea or onto a beach or something.
Yeah. So there's something about crustaceans, something about sewage pipes.
You've actually said the one of the... Well, you've actually
sewage
said the word.
Pipe.
We've said the word.
Yeah. Winkle.
Yeah. Life, sir.
Beach.
Beach. Oh, beach. They think
English beaches is what they thought they were. Okay, well, the next round involves well-known names from literary history. French novelist Victor Hugo famously wrote in the nude when suffering from writer's block. He'd have his servants remove his clothes and return them only when he'd finished writing for the day. It earned him numerous awards from the Académie Française, as well as a lifetime ban from Paris's Central Library. Okay, the teams will now take it in turns to improvise the letters sent between two famous figures, with two players providing one word each at a time. Milton and John, I'd like you to start by composing a letter from Nottingham man John Boot, founder of Boots the Chemist, to Queen Victoria, and then Vicky and Fred come up with a reply and so on. So off you go, please, Milton and John.
Dear
Queen
Victoria,
I
am
a
chemist,
and
I
would
like
to
invite
you
to
sample
my
soap.
And
if
you
put
some...
royal...
soap...
in...
your...
boudoir...
I'm...
going...
to...
be...
very...
happy...
for...
a long... a...
long...
period.
Speaking...
of
periods.
If
you
still
have
them, then
do
ask
for
a
sandwich.
Yours,
John
Boot.
Well,
Mr.
Boot,
thank
you
for
your
letter,
which
had
rather
enticed
me
to
visit
your
shop
for
some
sandwiches.
I
am
sadly
the
last
person
who
needs
tampons.
However,
I
know
someone who
might.
Could
my
friend
Albert
possibly
pop
round
to
your
shop
and
purchase
some
other
items
which
I
can't
imagine
buying
myself.
Next
week,
when
I
visit
my
sister,
who
also
has
sandwiches,
he
has
changed
his
gender,
and
I
support
everything
that
they
slash
them
do.
Regards,
your
Queen
Victoria.
This next round is all about popular sayings. A saying my uncle often repeated was, when one door closes, another one opens. He never did sell that Vauxhall Astra. Teams, I'd like you to suggest updated versions of various well-known English proverbs and sayings in an effort to make them more relevant to life in the 21st century, okay? So you can start this one, Fred. Two's company, three's...
an illy et ovile own reception.
Milton, if you pay peanuts...
how do you think they're going to be able to spend the money?
Vicky, a woman's work...
is less well paid.
John, ask a silly question and...
you get a job on the One Show.
Fred, there's no accounting for...
Jimmy Carr.
Milton, give a man a fish...
and you'll really freak him out if it's at the bus stop.
Vicky, a problem shared is...
a boring evening for one of you.
OK, Tims, I'll throw this open. Any other suggestions?
You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it scuba dive.
Don't teach your grandmother to twerk.
A stitch in time prevents the continuum from being torn apart, according to Einstein's theory.
The grass is always greener on the other side if you lay your AstroTurf upside down.
Well, it's very nearly the end of the show, but there is just enough time to play a game of Toy Seller's Songbook. Incidentally, Samantha has her own extensive toy collection, most of which she keeps in a bedside drawer. And she enjoys few things more than getting them out for her American gentleman friend, a collector of Pixar merchandise. Last time, she showed him her Paddington Bear before he revealed a pristine Woody. Anyway, teams, in this round, I'd like you to please suggest titles of songs likely to prove popular with toy sellers. You can start, Vicky.
I'm Hornby, 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 Hornby.
John.
We'll always be together, together in Scalextric Streams.
Milton.
Yes, Teddy. All my troubles seem so far away.
Fred.
Smurf on the water.
She is a model railway and she's looking good.
Goodbye, Rubik Tuesday.
Winding my way down Baker Street, how much rent do I owe?
Somewhere over the Play-Doh.
Furby, cross the Mersey.
That deaf, dumb, blind kid sure plays a mean swing ball.
Phil Collins sings Sabutio.
Hit me with your stickle bricks.
Eleanor's Frisbee.
Weeble, Weeble, rock you.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, as the desperate tourist of time confronts the procrastinating passport office of posterity, before the much-anticipated trip to Thailand of eternity is eventually replaced by the wet weekend in Worthing, I notice we've come to the end of the show. So from the team, Samantha, myself, and our audience here in Nottingham, it's goodbye. Goodbye.
John Coulshaw, Vicky Pepperdine, Fred McCauley, and Milton Jones will be given silly things to do by Jack D, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme consultants were Fraser Steele and Stephen Dick, and the producer was John Naismith.